Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Geek Lounge. I'm your host, Luis Latore.
And this is Adam Smasher.
And we're sitting here again with Big Money B, a.k.a. Mr. Paul Blankenship.
What's up, everybody?
What's up? What's up?
Everybody's talking to you.
No, I'm done with it.
He's done with the big fricker.
Right now I'm in transition.
Five Nights at Paulie's.
No.
It's Halloween.
No,
he went to the Halloween themed Five Nights at Freddy's haunted house.
No, so in honor of that, no, no. That's not gonna be my name. That was not.
Big Paulie B should last for another month or two before he.
Big Paulie B.
Think if you just continue on the path you're going to, you're just gonna be a symbol like Prince.
Yeah.
So you're wearing, quite frankly, it is an amazing T-shirt for a few
that
reasons.
That shirt,
without saying what it is. Mm-hmm. Here's the tagline.
It's a shirt with a movie poster on it.
Right.
When a girl has a heart of stone, there's only one way to melt it. Just add ice.
Mm.
What the hell does that even mean?
Which scientifically does not make any sense.
Is there any kind of ice? Dry ice?
No. I don't think so.
No.
To melt stone?
No.
Not ice.
A lot of dry ice inside the stone.
No, that won't melt it. It might cause it to crack.
I need ice to melt a rock, is what you're telling me.
That's what that t-shirt is implying.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard. That shirt.
I don't understand.
I didn't realize that until today.
Is cool as ice.
And you just gave it away.
Was I not supposed to? What were we doing? We're playing a guessing game?
No, okay. It doesn't matter. It's just
Vanilla Ice Classic.
Yeah.
Cool as ice.
Yeah. Riffed excellently by Riff Trax.
I have not seen that.
It's good. It's actually really funny.
Mm, but it's Paulie B's favorite movie.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I haven't seen the movie.
I never saw it until it was riffed on Riff Trax. Okay. That's the only time I saw it. Yeah.
I have it on my Amazon Prime on my list of movies to watch next.
Get it. Don't do it. Just get it off of Riff Trax. Because then you get the riff with it, at least.
Yeah, it'll be entertaining.
Yeah.
Every time I'm thinking about ordering it, and then I'll watch the trailer, and then I'm like, No. I'm not going to do that.
It's objectively pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it is a very small and intimate little story.
I mean,
for what that, probably because of the budget.
Speaking of things
I think it takes place in two houses and a construction area and like a nightclub, which is probably something they dressed up to look like a nightclub because it's just dark in the back. You don't ever see what's going on. Yeah.
Somebody's garage.
Yeah.
I always picture it like Footloose or something like that, but it's not really the Footloose kind of thing going on.
She is gorgeous though, the
girl.
Love interest.
Who is she?
I don't know. I don't think she's been in much, to be honest.
That was it for her.
Watch it be.
I think she was in other things, but she's probably one of those actresses that's still doing a lot of work in TV, but you just don't really ever know who she was. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Yeah. We're getting the information here.
And
the intern.
I know the cinematographer is a big time cinematographer, though. Yeah,
they went on to do some great things.
He did, yeah.
That's good.
I think The Matrix. I think.
Wow,
which is amazing when you think about that.
Yeah, that's Kristen. Well, it's very Matrix like.
Kristen Minter is her name.
Kristen Minter.
She's so hot.
She still looks gorgeous, by the way.
Does she?
At 50.
Nice.
I know. Yeah. I saw her. She's at,
still she beautiful at 50.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, she's. Yeah. She served me today at Blueberry Hill.
From cool as ice to Blueberry Hill.
Yeah, she's wearing, they wear the cute little outfits there.
I mean, the way she asked me what kind of syrup I wanted for my pancakes,
Oscar
worthy.
Hot.
Oscar worthy.
Really hot.
So,
do you want some hot coffee?
Speaking of stuff that's meaningless, what did you do this week?
I told her to put some ice in that coffee.
You went to a couple haunted houses, right?
Yeah, so I went to four of the five haunted houses at Fright Dome.
Oh, it's Circus Circus.
Circus Circus Fright
Dome.
Here
in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
Circus Circus is a casino, and the Fright Dome is the amusement park built for said casino.
From 7 p.m. till, I think, midnight?
Question mark?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's like the end of the block. The end?
No, I think it's pretty hard midnight. I don't think it's... I don't think there's any questions, Mark. Whatever,
O'clock dash, you're dead.
Not, it is Las Vegas, but, it's not like 24-hour haunted houses, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it was... I don't want to,
unless they're really haunted.
I don't want to persuade anybody, See, and that right there was much better than what happened last night. Right? That was actually scarier. This right here, I'm about to leave right
yeah?
now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. No, yeah. It was
so we just outdid
bad.
All the haunted yes. houses.
It was really tame.
You know what would have made it scary? Doink the Clown.
Doink the Clown would have made it.
Doink the
amazing.
Clown is.
Who the hell is
super,
Doink the Clown?
Way scarier than Pennywise. I could tell you that much right now.
You know who Doink the Clown is? Let me answer that.
Yeah.
Buzz Sawyer. Mm-hmm. Anyways, just want to throw that out there. That's who he is. That's actually, but I don't think that's his actual name. Yeah. So I just took the character Buzz Sawyer, who plays Doink the Clown, which is probably not his real name either.
Doink the Clown
okay. was a professional wrestler from uh-huh. the early 90s.
Yes.
Okay.
And he was kind of scary looking because he had a scary laugh and his makeup mm-hmm. was weird.
No,
and
he did
faces,
a great
right?
job.
But he wouldn't like jump out and scare
oh,
kids.
I've seen
he
him.
Would he would play mean tricks on kids, yeah. and actually, that would cause them to cry because on top of everything else, mm-hmm. he was scary as crap.
I think he was meant to look something like a clown and Beetlejuice. That's what it looks like,
kind of. But
that's
also,
how the design
also,
of his makeup looks.
I would have said he looks more like a homeless guy who found clown makeup yeah. and decided, yeah, all right.
He was ahead of his time.
Yeah,
you know, as far as scary clowns go, like yeah. the scary clowns that are all over the. United States, really, yeah. Doink the Clown was the first really scary clown to me.
Yeah, he had little itty bitty you know? Clowns.
I mean, there were scary clowns before him, but he was scary. I don't know if he meant
well,
to be scary to begin
it
with.
It came out in the 80s, I think, but then, of course, John Wayne Gacy.
True.
Yeah.
John Wayne Gacy.
Of course, he was a clown. That was his profession. That wasn't it.
Yeah,
that
but
wasn't tied directly
I think
the
to
king
this.
Of creepy clowns.
Which I got a problem. Clown. I got an issue, okay? John Wayne Gacy was, that was his job.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think people need to.
I don't
to,
think he was tied specifically
yeah, I think
to
people
what
need
he
to
did,
stop,
right?
okay? So he did a bad person, but as a professional clown, he was mastering his best. You know what I mean? And, like, yeah. people need to stop
you know,
acting like.
We need
little,
to, the guy, the, look, just for his clown work, he needs to get a Pagliacci Award.
Yeah.
Which is an award that I made up
is,
for clowns.
There is a Clown Hall of Fame, and he is not in it. And I think that's not right, just because he... What did he do? Eat people? I mean, I don't know what he did.
That's like, you know... That's,
don't condone his actions, but condone his performance.
Can
that's
we
like,
separate?
That's like saying, yeah, can we you know, that's like saying Hermann Göring was a brilliant sky marshal
for right.
the German Luftwaffe. Mm. He's not recognized as such because he was part of the Nazi party.
Yeah.
You're goddamn right.
I don't know.
He's making a joke about some other situation.
He's being sarcastic.
No, but it's about another
I'm very
situation.
Passionate. I'm actually
a
board member of the Clown Hall of Fame.
What?
He's making a wrestling reference to Chris Benoit.
Am I?
Yes.
I'm not even.
Yeah,
why
you
do you
are.
Tie that in?
Yeah, you are. It's
Chris
the same,
Benoit
it's the same
is
thing. He did something.
Excellent wrestler.
He did something terrible.
He belongs in the. He did a little. Bad thing. What the hell? I mean,
he's the guy that flipped out and murdered his family.
Yes,
right? Okay.
and then killed himself.
Yeah, and then killed himself.
All right, you guys, you don't have to.
The argument, argument is that he should be in the Hall of Fame based on his ring work, not what he did outside of the ring.
Well,
but it's one of those things,
especially
where it's
when
like
it was so tied to injury. I mean, it's not like they didn't find. What they found.
They said that
you
his brain
I mean?
Was like that of an Alzheimer's patient.
It was
patient.
So messed up. Yeah, yep. he was yeah. so messed up. So it'd be
and
different if
why.
He just killed his family and nobody knew why. There was Man. No, you know.
I don't think the injury, though, that the brain injuries that he had anything to do with wrestling. Because he was a really safe wrestler.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Uh-huh. Headbutts, chair
the
shots to the head. Yeah.
Chair shots.
Yeah.
Was that fake? Wrestling's fake?
Luis, what did you do this week?
Probably had three concussions in a match, every match.
It's fake.
For all we knew.
Come on.
He's
a good guy.
Well, I want to talk about an epidemic in this country. Okay?
All right. What's this?
I want to talk about something that is completely and utterly ruining this country.
I love it.
Okay?
Politics.
GameStop.
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 Yeah.
Did you think I was going to say Donald Trump?
I thought you were going to say
wrong.
About politics. Yeah.
About
GameStop.
Game's the game.
GameStop.
GameStop.
Yes. So I had a terrible experience at GameStop, and I want to talk about it right now because
coincidentally,
it annoyed the
crap out
of me.
Yeah, I do believe Forbes. I think it was Forbes. I don't remember who. They just did like a poll of all the worst employers. And
GameStop was
GameStop
it?
Beat Walmart. Yeah. They were like,
oh
number,
my God.
GameStop was number
Walmart?
One. Yeah.
Beat
Holy
Walmart.
Crap.
Yeah, Walmart's
and
an
others.
Amazing store.
Anyway, go ahead.
Compared to okay, so I go into GameStop, right? And this happens every time I go into GameStop, but this time it was pretty annoying. I went in to put money on a pre-order game.
What?
Yeah.
That's my thing.
I do it sometimes.
You put money on a pre-order game?
Yeah. Wait,
okay, go ahead.
So I went in to put money on a pre-order,
mm-hmm.
and there are There are four fucking people behind the counter. There are four people. No, I didn't say it. There are four people. Late. Dang.
That's a dollar.
Ah, hold on.
We're going to talk about the tradition after the break and why. But Luis now owns the kitty a dollar.
You better have some.
Oh my God, our hundreds. Is that?
You brought the swear. What the heck,
I man. Forgot to pick up change.
Are you effing kidding me?
How are you going to bring that?
Look.
Balling.
I'm a baller.
You owe me a dollar because we can't start the tradition and you fail so brilliantly the very first time.
Hold on. Keep the show going. I'm going to go get a drink at the gas station and then I'll get some
kids. Get the hell out.
Oh, okay.
Take the mic with you. What are you doing? Yeah.
Take the remote. Yeah.
So I go and there's four people behind the counter. Four people behind the counter, mm-hmm. two people at the counter, mm-hmm. one person in line. That one person is me. Mm-hmm. I don't get service for a good 5 to 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Because one of the guys is busy with some other guy who couldn't Google whatever information he needed. Apparently, he was not able to use Google mm-hmm. to look up some Gears of War Xbox thing.
What does player two mean?
Yeah, what did that mean?
Which player two?
What Gears of War? Game of War.
Gear of War.
Yeah.
Come with that. Gear of War. Gear of War.
Is that for that X Cube?
My biggest problem with people who work at GameStop is either they're too involved.
They work at GameStop?
Well, besides that, they're either too involved or they're not involved enough.
Right.
So this guy, his problem was that he was too involved. This guy asked him a question about the Gears of War or Xbox or, I don't know, whatever special edition Xbox. So the guy goes, oh, you know what? Instead of telling you, let me show you. He goes to the back for 2 to 3 minutes to pull out an Xbox to show this guy what's in the special edition Gears of War Xbox, which is, I don't know, to me by this point self-explanatory, Xbox control game.
Well, not to mention
decals.
Like we used to do at the comic book store. We're like, hey, give me a sec. And then, because the next person, they might have two comic books. Bring them up, get them out of here. The other guy wants to talk. So
get
the customer who wants to go out the door and then chit-chat with
That's on there. One side. That's not too bad, right? Right. Mm-hmm. On the other side is one guy, mm-hmm. and there's three people helping him. Mm. And they're not really helping him so much as they're carrying on a conversation about anime.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this annoys me, because when I worked at Target, I didn't care about what you did, mm-hmm. what you were into. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My job was to get you out of the store, because I wanted to talk to my friend who I know is into that stuff.
Right.
And you're keeping me from doing that.
It's kind of like our job right now.
So get the hell out of the store. Right. Basically, right. You know, stop bothering me. We're having a heated discussion.
Mm-hmm. About whether or not.
The
Hulk.
Hot Rod is responsible for the death of Optimus Prime or not.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Something like that. And you're ruining it because you need stuff and you're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three people helping one guy. Two of them are 20, 21.
Yeah.
Something like that. One of the guys looks like he could have been the manager, and he was also like, oh, yeah, have you seen
him? Oh, yeah, he was the 23-year-old.
Have you seen
him? No. The older one.
Not bull, because he looked like he was at least 30.
Yeah.
He looked like he was at least my age.
Oh, okay.
And they were just talking about, whatever. Do you see Luke Cage yet? Oh, have you watched Gotham? What about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Oh, my God, so good. And I'm just like, get me out of here, please. I just want to put money down on a game and go. Yeah. And I don't know. That annoyed me, man. That annoyed me so bad. That they're
it's frustrating,
20
man.
20 years
terrible.
Old back there, yeah.
And speaking of Luke Cage, when we come back from our break, we will be talking about Luke Cage. Did I kind of murder that?
Right.
Luke Cage.
Hold on.
Luke,
I watched Luke Cage.
Yeah.
I didn't even watch Luke Cage.
I'm like, oh my God. But we're not watching the actual one? Is it the one where he sleeps with Jessica Jones?
Jessica
Jones and Luke Cage.
This is the anime, right?
That was in Jessica Jones. Jessica. Anyway, when we come back.
All right. So I kind of watched the real Jessica Jones thing.
Just
What up, you jive time turkeys? You like that?
No.
You love that? No?
No?
It's fly trap here.
I don't think you ever said jive time turkeys.
No, nobody did. That was just, it was just what I shut up.
Booger.
Poo-poo-ca-ca. Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. Today we're talking about Luke Cage. As everybody knows, it came out about a week ago on
the show that broke Netflix for a little bit.
The show that broke Netflix, and it's apparently caused issues all last weekend. Probably, I would imagine they had it sorted out.
Yeah. No, they did. Yeah, they did, because I was watching it last night, actually.
So, I finished it. You?
I'm like, how many episodes are there?
13. I mean,
how many is the thing? 13? So, I think I'm on, like, 10... Or
really?
11. Yeah.
So you haven't even finished it either?
No.
But he's been watching it longer than I have. He's been telling me for 2 weeks to watch it, so that's on him.
Proud of you.
And what are you started on? I am on episode 9.
Okay. Proud
I've only
you.
Been watching it for 2 days.
Proud of you.
So
that's nice.
I binged the hell out of it.
Yeah. That was nice. That's what I love about him too. I gotta say, first off, I like shows. There's like I like
TV.
I like movies.
I like
big
okay.
Butts
no,
I
like
cannot lie.
But I like like I like Walking Dead. Like I like shows on TV, but I can't. I know, but I can't. I can't be there for that show at that time.
But it needs you.
I can't be there for
but
it.
But it needs
that's
you.
Been my problem my whole life.
Oh,
and we can.
Okay.
That's why Firefly's not around because of
that's
people like you.
Show.
That's right. I purposely keep myself a year behind American Horror Story so that I can watch it on Netflix and not ever have to go out of my way or pay to watch it.
And that's my thing. That's what I do. So that's why I
love Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Without seeing it,
right?
Cause
exactly.
I watched like 2 episodes. But,
that's my thing. That's why I love, and I watched Daredevil season 1 ridiculously. Then season 2, oh god, so good.
Yeah,
season 2, Daredevil season 2.
Punisher. It had some great things in it. I thought, especially
Punisher?
Near the end of the season, it got a little
Punisher.
Goofy. I liked him. He was good. Yeah,
so good. But anyways, that's why. First off, that's one of the reasons that I love, Luke Cage. Just sitting there and he's like, bop. Pop it on, you know what I mean? And then you just watch it. But anyway,
and Luke's there in your living room.
He's there and he's just, it's just amazing.
And then he looks at you in the eye and he says, you want to go out and get some coffee?
Yeah, you want to get some coffee?
and then you blush and you go, Luke, you don't even drink coffee.
No, I tell him, I tell him,
oh
I tell
my,
him,
stop.
I tell him right to his face, say, I'm not sleeping with you. You know what I mean? That's what I tell him. Just like that.
So what do you think? What do you guys think of it?
What I think of it?
What
is
do you
it good?
Think of the show? Yeah.
It's great. I thoroughly enjoy it. If you're, I don't know, like if you're expecting a lot of action, it's not there.
Not at first.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it plays out more like a crime show.
Yeah. It's a crime
with superheroes in it.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, when was the first, when was that first scene in, Genghis Khan's the thugs in there. When is that? That takes place in the second or the third?
I thought it was like the third.
It's
fourth.
The third.
Yeah.
Like that's it. That's the first.
It's the first big fight with him anyway.
With
I
him.
Mean, there's some other stuff.
There's some stuff. But that's what I thought was great.
But that was at the
like,
end of the first
I was like,
episode.
I can't believe I'm watching a superhero
I thought
show.
It was later than that.
What? Which one?
He's...
That's what he had a fight already in the first episode. Didn't he have a fight?
He did. I think he did, but it was something else. It wasn't Genghis Khan.
The only thing he does in the first episode is he lifts up the washer. There he's he gets the
because Pops keeps calling him Power Man. Yeah,
yeah. And he gets that phone number from the girl from the lady, and then he just throws it and it goes under the washer.
Yeah.
And then Pops is like, "Hey, what are you doing? You got to live your life." Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And he reaches in and picks up the washer
and
just grabs it. And I was like, just at that moment, I was like, "Oh God, I love it! I love
it's
this.
Awesome!
It's awesome! Great, great show!
Yeah.
Like the."
Just in that
music.
Moment, I was like, I love Mike Colton. I mean, this is a good show.
They do a great job of character development.
Look,
let's not lie.
That guy's a stud. That guy is pretty awesome.
Well, he's
he's
a
great
Luke
Cage.
He's
an awesome Luke Cage.
Well-studied actor, too. He's not a slouch,
Yeah.
He actually packed on muscle, I guess, to play Luke Cage.
Nice. Oh,
because if you look at other stuff he was in,
he's
a lot leaner. He almost looks odd. It's like you're so used to seeing him like that
like
beefy.
Yeah.
It's like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
But the show is a lot like watching.
He's
like,
not a kid either. He's like 38, 39.
It's a lot, dare I say, a lot like kind of like a blaxploitation film. But
I wouldn't say that. I would say that they certainly
chose some elements
from blaxploitation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And intentionally so, I think.
But it's more, I think it's more true to the Harlem You know what I mean? I think, not that I know of. Yeah. I don't think I've never been to Harlem.
Yeah, let's get this out of the way. We're two white dudes and a Hispanic dude, so
I might know. I could know.
Who's Hispanic?
When we speak of the African American experience in this country, we really don't know what we're talking about.
Right, exactly. Let's
who's Hispanic? Who's Hispanic?
Yeah, me. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Blankenship here.
Hispanic. Who told?
But that doesn't mean we can't appreciate the show.
I'm just saying you don't want to be the white guy who says on air, "Hey, I know the struggle."
Yeah, exactly.
No. It's not the guy you want to be.
But I mean, you know, if you appreciate, I love rap, hip hop. I've always loved it. You know what I mean? So you got the big picture of a Biggie. In Cottonmouth's office. I mean, awesome, every time I see it, I'm just like, that is so beautiful. That first scene
where he's talking
he walks up to the picture to where the crown is like perfectly on his head. Yeah,
there's one part where he's looking in the mirror, isn't he? In the picture's
behind
him.
No, I think he's walking to the window is what he's doing.
Yeah. And they show him with the crown.
And he stops like perfectly where the crown's on his head. I was like, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty clever.
I was just going to say that.
Oh.
It was good.
Sorry.
That's right. Cottonmouth was, first of all, the guy that plays Cottonmouth.
He's great. He's incredible.
He was amazing. Yeah.
Well, okay, let's ask the question then. Well, who is your, Adam, who's your favorite character in the movie?
Honestly, when I saw Alfre Woodard was in it, I was like, you know, she's amazing. Yeah. She's amazing in everything. She's even amazing in her bit part in Civil War. I heard she was amazing as Amanda Waller. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like, the first half of the show, you guys aren't to the end yet. First half of the show, I was like,
yeah,
she's good, but really, I'm not seeing all that Alfre Woodard could do.
Right, she's taking a second.
Is it Woodard or Wood? Why am I spacing on that? Woodard. It is Woodard. Okay,
yeah, it's kind of like taking a second to Cottonmouth, letting him get the last word
as things progress in the story, which I won't say what happens.
Right,
she comes to the forefront. Mm-hmm.
She becomes more like her.
The last few episodes, she's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Probably as far as everybody in that show, man, I still got to go with Alfre Woodard. She's just amazing. And also, maybe an honorable mention to the Misty Knight, the inspector, the IA inspector, and her captain. The interplay between those three was just awesome. Actually.
Misty Knight began to annoy me towards like the end of, like, where I'm at now. Like,
she actually
I'm just kind of like getting, and then
I liked her later
on. I was okay with her. And then as I progressed, I'm just like, I'm getting more annoyed with her.
Yeah, see,
she knows Luke Cage is not doing these things, and yet she's still like.
It was that adherence to the system, though. She was fixated on the system. That was the point.
Still.
And isn't there a little jealousy, too, with it? I feel like there's a little jealousy.
There's
like
a little,
when she's choking.
She also resents that whole.
Yeah.
Well, there was that
earlier.
That whole thing that she had where the guy was pointing the gun at her, so she probably
when they
wasn't
had
in a good place.
Earlier in the movie, when they had coffee, together,
with
her and Luke.
There's
Cage
also that.
You know, speaking of coffee,
smooth. Yeah, I just dumped my coffee everywhere. Like, thankfully, it was empty.
Theo Rossi,
he's really good too. Yeah.
Oh my god, he chews up the scenery, everything.
Way to take a terrible Marvel character and actually make him cool.
Man,
he's got this weird, like, sort of like. I can't even describe it. It's almost like a weird kind of gravitas.
Yeah.
That he's just like, just in the way that he speaks, like, I can't imitate it, but it'd be like,
you know,
Diamondback isn't going to give you that.
You know, my friend from New York that came and visited a couple months ago?
Yeah.
He reminds me of that dude. Except my buddy's all like a lot stockier, but Shades was like, oh, it's John.
I don't know what
reminds me of that.
I don't know yet what
similar face, if he has
powers or anything like that. Because I know in the comics he does, right. But I don't know in the show if he does or not.
Yeah.
But I feel like he should with just the way he kind of carries himself as like a kind of a big boss, but he's very young looking.
Yeah. And you know, I could tell right away from the very beginning, I was like, this guy's not just like a little henchman. Like there's some other stuff going on, I know, and it's kind of.
He certainly gets a sense that he's, you know, intimate with Diamondback.
And the whole time he's with Cottonmouth, it's like he's constantly like telling him, it's like, don't, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's always trying to give him advice, and Cottonmouth doesn't.
His emotions get the best of him,
all the time. And it's just, but I just love, man, everything he says, and he pulls his shades up, and he talks, and he puts his shades on, and.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love every scene he's in.
When his shades are on, he's actually observing, and when his shades are off, he's actually distilling.
Yeah.
He's distilling clarity.
And I think that's the great other thing, too, is that if you think about it,
little thematic things.
All of the, all of the bad guys are so likable. Like, you know what I mean?
They're not all evil, that's for sure.
Yeah. And but I mean, the characters, you like them. Like when they're on the screen, you love Cottonmouth. When he's on the screen, he's talking and everything. It's not like you're just like, God damn, I can't wait till this guy dies.
That's a dollar.
They don't want him
to die. That's a dollar. That's a dollar.
I don't have any cash. Man, you gotta tell me you're gonna bring in a swear jar.
A swear jar.
You've gotten some
swear jar.
Yes, like Luke Cage, we have installed a swear jar into the studio.
Specifically for this show?
Freak.
Because our show is
all shows. So I don't care about your show.
Going forward. Swear jar.
With our show,
that dollar, our show, we need some
Pauly B. Where's
so
that dollar
money? I don't have any money.
You don't have any money. Wait, you guys are terrible.
Put that hundo in there. I didn't think I was gonna curse, but GameStop made me so mad.
I have a Dutch Brothers.
Yeah, put that in there.
Coffee. Put that in there. Yeah, I could use that. Okay. No, don't put that in there.
I'll do it if you want me to. Nah, sorry.
All right, sorry. I owe you for a dollar.
This is like the
You owe me for a dollar.
Yeah, you should have get a swear jar with like a little swipe on the side.
a little square sitting out of it. Anyway,
okay.
Yeah, it's Cottonmouth. Yeah,
yeah, and yeah, it's man, that movie. I mean, that show is.
My favorite character is Cottonmouth, Marcel Ali, who plays Cottonmouth. Right. I thought he was awesome.
Right.
He just had this. Oh my God! Like just the way he played this criminal. I can't even think of it. He was awesome.
Yeah, and this may be spoilers, but they're not big spoilers. Certainly they're not spoilers for you guys. Yeah, like he came off kind of as just like this just villain essentially at first.
Yeah,
you know, and his club had this really deep, passionate, you know, sort of hip hop fusion music going on or whatever you want to call it. I'm sorry, I don't know the genre.
it's all over the place.
Yeah, and you know, and he was always very attentive when they were playing that music. But then you come to find out there's a lot more to him. And he even says something along as like, I was born into this. Only he wasn't. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah.
He wasn't. He was manipulated into it and still didn't really want anything to do with it until it was too late.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing. And if you did notice, I wanted to say this because we are running out of time for this segment. But the thing I thought was really cool was about all the music and everything. Mm-hmm. And then when a certain big moment happens in the show and there's a huge change in Harlem's Paradise and then Alfred Woodard's up there, you notice the music is a completely different style and the band makes a mistake and they say, hold on, we messed up. Let's try that again. That's the first time that happens. And thematically with what was going on in the club, I was like, that's really good.
Yeah.
Which I think is what later on in the season, because really I don't think I've ever seen, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, you did.
That was the...
past it. That was like episode 7 or 8.
Hmm.
Yeah, because I remember that it was the Delphonics.
Yeah.
They were doing their thing, and they stopped. He goes, stop, somebody's out of tune.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's do a start from the top. Yep. Let's do this and everything. And that right then, I was like, damn, he said he was right.
Yeah.
I never noticed it until
Shades
that point.
Shades was right.
Yeah. Things are a little rocky right now. It's not. Shades because when Cottonmouth is up there, he's just watching. Everything's just
and
smooth
the music was
as
just
hell.
Smooth. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just even like they're just the club is empty and there's scenes where he's watching
they're
somebody's
like rehearsing, or
rehearsing
something,
and it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden they're rehearsing, things are a little rough.
The big change happens. Yeah. Things are rough. Yeah.
Stuff. But
good stuff.
The music's amazing.
The music was amazing,
fantastic
in
that show. Yeah,
yeah. We're meandering all over with a smattering of how we feel about the show, but yeah, it's just that good.
I mean, general consensus, it's a pretty great show.
Yeah,
it's honestly a very good show.
I haven't met anybody or known anybody. All of my friends that just casual people watching it are loving it. You know what I mean? And checking
really
in, loving it and stuff. Yeah. And this is really excellent. In fact, just in the fact that it's not super super action packed, it's very character oriented.
And that's what sort of scares me is that people will be like, oh, there's not a lot of action. Why do I want to watch it? It's definitely worth watching for sure. I mean, with or without the action, honestly, but it's there.
It's
and when it's there, it's good.
It's weird to think that Daredevil is the weakest show so far. That's
when
amazing.
When it started off, it's still pretty great. It's still a pretty great
season
show.
Season 2 is good. It just had some issues, but still, I mean... Yeah.
Jessica Jones.
I think they try to do too much in Daredevil season 2, but still, it is a good show.
Daredevil season 2. I was just every episode. I was just like, all right, where's Punisher?
Yeah,
like you know what I mean. I'm like, you just introduced a character that's way more interesting to me than Daredevil.
I think they should have pushed off Elektra or her whole arc.
Yeah,
I think they should have just pushed it off.
Yeah,
and that's the part that seemed rushed to me.
Yeah.
The fact that she was in it was fine. You could have pushed that off or had her sort of drop out and disappear and then come back for another season for that arc. But
well,
that's
it's
fine.
Like he's like, okay, here he's with Punisher and there's stuff going on and that's cool. And all of a sudden, and then he goes home. And then all of a sudden at night, he's fighting ninjas. And I'm like, what's going on?
It does tend
to. There's a whole lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
is like pushing. Just relax, man.
You guys ready for break?
We are.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I love Rosario Dawson. She's in everything. I love her.
Yeah.
I love you, Rosario Dawson.
Oh,
that doesn't look. We'll fly away. I just love that smiling face in the early sun. If I can't have you to myself, then life's no fun.
Summertime, and the living is easy.
Welcome back, everybody.
Nice.
You guys weren't around for the break, so you probably don't know what that means. I'm going to keep it that way.
Well, we got on a little side poultrygeist conversation.
Yeah.
The classic trauma. That was trauma, right?
Yeah.
Trauma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Poltergeist film. Anyway, back to Luke Cage.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you guys haven't finished it yet, though.
No.
No, I'm still the episodes away.
How's Diamondback for you guys? He's a scene chewer.
He's okay. He is.
He's pretty one-dimensional.
He is, yeah.
He's not what I thought he would be.
Yeah, the way they just sort of introduced him, I was kind of like, oh, I was expecting like a bigger reveal. I thought this guy was just like a...
Because he's name-dropped in like over. I mean, Shade's like... Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Diamondback.
You know Diamondback isn't going to give that to you.
If you do that, Diamondback's going to come over and he's going to take heart. You know what I mean? He's saying all this stuff.
And I'm just expecting like, oh, man, this Diamondback. Let's see what's up with this dude. He just kind of shows up out of nowhere.
Well, I think...
It's a little unimpressive.
I think in the context of the rest of the show that you haven't seen, I think it works because I don't think he's meant to be anything more than he is. Yeah. He's a scene chewer. He's a one or maybe two-dimensional villain.
But
there is an aspect to him I want to talk about, but I don't know how much you guys have seen. But I think he works for that. And I think the guy is suitably intense and intimidating enough to match that. I mean, his performance is good.
Yeah. But, hey, one of the first things that he says, right? He's out there after he pulls
it. Yeah.
Can you dig it?
And Saturday night.
Shot and everything. Sorry, spoiler. But he's like sitting by the car and he goes, she's like, what? Like, what's that? And he goes, well,
Warriors,
it's not.
1979.
Yeah. He's like, well, he goes, like, something is not a movie matinee night, so it must be. He's like, Warriors?
He kind of has this look on
his face. Yeah, he's like, come out and play. I was like, man, that's awesome. Yeah,
he does kind of look like the guy that played Cyrus.
No, yeah, the guy that. No, that was amazing when he did that. That stuff, I'm like, I was saying, is like, there's a scene in prison where Squabbles is training him, and then he says, you know, they start talking about, he's like, you got to get your, he's like giving him tips on, you know, you got to cut, you know, get your head down and this and that. And he goes, what are you like?
Stand your line.
You know, stand your line. He goes, what are you like? You fought? And he goes, yeah. Well, you know, I used to watch a lot of kung fu movies.
Yeah.
And he's like, whatever. Like,
36
you know,
Chamber.
It doesn't make you anything.
Five
and then
Deadly
he says,
Venoms.
Fist of Legend. Yeah, and then he talks about Fist of Legend.
That was a good bit.
His favorite movie. He's like, what's your favorite comic? He's like, Fist of Legend, the remake of Chinese Connection. He's like,
I think it's the better of the two.
Yeah, he thinks it's the better of the two. And they get into this thing back and forth. I just love how they just get into that thing. He's just beat up, and he's just like, they're still just talking about whether or not Jet Li, like why the Jet Li film is better than the Bruce Lee film. Yeah, and it's just like
that's how a lot of nerds have conversations.
It is,
everybody.
No, I mean that I was literally, I think I was in the kitchen and I was doing something and that whole scene came on.
Yeah.
And I literally like was like, did he just say Fist of Legend? Like I was expecting some obscure.
I'm still mad at you at the brief for the Bruce Lee thing.
Yeah.
You mad because I have an opinion?
Yeah.
That's the one you brought up.
I did. I like that.
That's good. But I mean, the thing I loved about that was that gives you a, like, you know how you were saying a little blaxploitation, but that's not. Yeah. Like, he picked a 90s kung fu movie.
That's true, yeah.
He didn't pick, like, a
70s 80s or 70s. 80s.
You know what I mean? He didn't. He was talking. They even talked about Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he's, like, you know, talking about the Wu-Tang. But, and then they, you know, they're. I think right there, they actually started playing some more Wu-Tang in the soundtrack.
So, yeah. I know there's at least one in there. Yeah. At least. Yeah. I thought there was two.
There's, well, and there's like, they have Cream, you know, yeah. Cash Rules Everything Around Me.
Yeah.
Dollar Dollar Bill.
Yeah, the music is the music is really good.
But the thing about the music too is it goes from
hip hop, jazz,
to jazzy to and it's all, you know, they got the Delphonics and stuff like that. And I like me, like I'm a big I love music. And for some reason if I watch a movie and there's music in it, it means more to me now. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like I'll start and
it's an association.
I love movies because they introduce me to music. Yeah. And I would say if anybody watches this show, seek out
that music
of
the
music that's
in it. I guess they are releasing the soundtrack and they're actually also releasing it on 2-disc vinyl.
Yeah.
Like Luke Cage, like gold vinyl, like that section.
Oh, awesome! Yellow. I would buy them both. Record, one to listen to, and then the big record to just keep.
Two. It's a two. Yeah, two records.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because it's amazing. I'm like driving around. I'm literally music driving around listening to the Delphonics now. Like just I'm like.
There's this little like there's this like little tune that they plays every time like Cottonmouth is talking. It's pretty.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's pretty indicative of him being like the evil.
Yeah.
Sort of thug.
Is it the one he was composing when he was a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That is the one.
Oh, okay, nice.
It's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Because he kept playing that one little tune that he had abandoned when he was a kid. And I think that was his nod, you know, because he says, I was born into this.
Yeah.
But he'd always go back to that tune like that's
what
thematically,
he wanted.
That's what he really wanted.
Yeah.
And that was him trying to
be a musician.
Escape.
That's why he had a club, a music club specifically. Yeah. I mean, he wanted to stay connected to that dream that he had.
And that's why he's always, whenever anybody's on stage, when they hit, go to him, whether it's practice or the club. He's almost always staring
at
the
music,
stage and watching the music.
Yeah.
And I guess now that I didn't even think about it, is maybe that's because he's wishing, that should be me. I kind of wish
I could have been there. That could have been me. Yeah.
You know? It's very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It's very interesting.
So but so good.
The music and the pop culture references and everything
really you get,
keep me.
Throughout the show, you get a lot of, not just pop culture references, but you get a lot of history of like
of
Harlem, mostly of Harlem, but like sports references, a lot of New York stuff, like just a bunch of things that sort of affect.
What's the hotel or whatever he goes into and takes the money, Maddox.
Crispus Attucks.
Crispus. Stuff like that. You know what I mean? I had no idea.
You
and they
know
say
who that
it
was?
And they talk about it, and now it's important. And I'm like. Next thing you know, I'm learning.
I'm Googling Crispus Attucks.
I'm watching a show and I'm learning.
I was amazing. Conscious of them, but I had kind of remembered, but it was been a long time since I was exposed to that name.
Yeah,
but
no, it's just really. And then there's the whole thing with Pops and him talking about poets, like everything.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Oh, you guys haven't seen it. One of the last scenes in the show is really cool for that.
Oh, yeah.
That same kind of nod.
Okay.
It's just a little tiny intimate scene, and it's like Luke Cage basically talking with a federal, I don't know if they're FBI or they're marshal or whatever, and it's really cool. It's like a cool little scene like that.
But it has a lot of scenes like that where the show, it seems to me like the show comes to a stop for them to have this little, you know, conversation, and then it's like, okay, we're done, and then it's right back to the show.
Right,
And oddly enough, and this is weird to say, for me anyway, one of the weakest aspects of the whole show was sort of the comic booky superhero stuff. And I don't mean the fighting. I mean like the explanation of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that just,
and it's
the
not
way
even
he got
that,
his powers just kind
even,
of happened.
And it's not even that weak. It's just something that happened. But,
But
that's odd to say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Laboratory accident.
That goes back to
it,
the powers and being a superhero being secondary to the actual story.
Yeah.
Of what's happening in this place in New York.
And that's where Netflix, I think, excels, is they're really good at the supporting characters, secondary characters, giving life to their cities, things like that. Even though I think I'm pretty sure that both areas of Manhattan are not nearly as downtrodden as the shows make them seem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they, I mean, no place is more gentrified than Brooklyn nowadays, but I don't think, I'm pretty sure most of Manhattan is.
Part of me wanted him to keep the head thing.
The tiara.
Because by that point he had an afro and he had a beard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, shave the beard? Come on.
Power Man.
Power Man. Dude, 70s, what'd you, 70s
what'd you think
Power
of that
Man.
Nod, by the way? What did you think of that?
I liked it, to be quite honest.
Amazing. I thought
it
was great. Part.
I liked it that it was so brief.
Yeah.
It worked because he basically took clothes, saw himself in the mirror with the window, and he was like,
you look like an idiot.
Yeah, he's like, you look like an idiot. And I was just like, man, but he looked awesome. It was just that moment.
Just that moment,
you know what I mean? And it gives people that, you know, watched, that like me, that read the comic book back in the day, just that moment of just like, there he is.
Yeah.
There he is, right there.
There he is.
There's a Luke Cage that I remember. There's a Power Man I remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just, like I said, it just seemed like it's all the superpowers, all the superheroics are secondary.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so here's my, I think, issue that I had with the show. My only issue was that he doesn't wear a mask. He is who he is.
Yes.
It's found out that he's, you know, there's times where you're one of those. People say, keep saying that to him. Oh, you're one of those.
Oh, superpower,
you know,
super,
bad. Because they make a lot of references to the event.
The event, yeah.
The event.
The aliens invaded New York and the Avengers.
Funny, no one talks about Ultron, but.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully for Harlem, that event was way far away from Harlem.
Yeah, true.
That was the other side of Central Park is where that all happened.
I just find it interesting that people don't follow him. And Adam, you can give me like the good reason that you think why. Yeah. But I just find it interesting that there's not camera crews and people following him around. He just walks around. He's got his hood on sometimes. Most time not. He's just walking around. They know.
Know who he is.
Nobody goes to that barbershop.
I did think that too at first.
Yeah.
And I thought that I don't know how far you've gotten, and I'm sorry if I spoil, but it's minor. You know, they're looking for him pretty heavy at one point, like the cops and stuff.
Yeah.
But nobody seems to notice him walking around in a hoodie, but they do sort of address that. Mm. And I think that comes out with the whole Method Man scene, which I don't think you've gotten to.
I have.
That kind of comes out. And it's not a big scene, but it's like, okay, maybe that makes sense why nobody, because you get the sense that basically Harlem as a whole is like, oh, that's Luke Cage. Yeah, don't. Keep it on the down low because we don't want him to get caught, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, because that whole no snitching thing kind of is underwoven into a lot of stuff. There's a lot of scenes where they're just like, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, but in his case, it's for the
right
reasons.
No, right. But there's even a scene where I think it was Misty, right? Misty says that she's like, I got to trademark that.
I didn't see nothing. I should trademark that.
Because basically throughout the show, from what I've seen, people say that. Like, I didn't see nothing.
Yeah. That, no, okay. I mean, so okay, I'm okay with
that. Makes sense.
But people could come from other parts of the city or the.
Yeah. Well, you don't. I know there's at least a couple episodes where he's roaming around and nobody ever seems to, even though the cops are big time after him. But then.
And then,
you know, Method Man's on a talk show because he had a run in with Luke Cage. And that's where it comes out was like, we just want you to know out there, Luke, you know, the street's got your back or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember exactly what's said. And it's like, okay, maybe that makes sense.
Maybe
sort of his legend within that community and that as a whole, they're pretty much not drawing attention to him because they know
he's a treasure.
They know he's out. Well, they also know he's out to clean up some of the issues.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes some sense. Yeah. Although I don't know.
Well, because I thought that too. I remember he's walking around all the time in a hoodie. Yeah. I'm like,
people know
nobody sees him. He's like wanted by the cops big time.
Yeah, and there's even that. There's a scene where somebody says to him, wear a mask. You know, why don't you wear a mask or something?
I think that was Pops.
Pops. Yeah, and
Pops.
He's like,
Pops and you're still alive,
he's like, nah, you know, it's just not going to do it.
Well, the idea, you know, as a, you know, subculture, don't be afraid of who you are. Don't hide who you are. And I kind of like that. You know, it works for other superheroes for cultural reasons, but I think it works for a black or a minority superhero to want to be who they are, I guess.
Right.
I think that works better in that context as opposed to somebody like, you know, Tony Stark, who's hiding who he is. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Is he?
Well, he was at first.
When he started, but then by the end of the first Iron Man, he was like, I'm Iron Man.
Of course. And I do like how modern superhero stuff sort of dispenses with a lot of that because it is kind of inherently silly.
Yeah.
You know, like it wouldn't be that hard in today's day and age. It would be harder back then, but still not that hard.
Sure.
But it's much harder now to actually hide your identity, especially without some serious high-tech stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought it worked. I liked it. I liked the idea that he needs to own up. You know, that's the whole theme, actually, which is the episode you're on. Those last three episodes is really about Luke Cage sort of becoming Luke Cage, owning up to who he is, owning up to what he had done in the past or whatever had happened in the past, things
like
that.
Did they explain that later on, why he went to jail in the first place?
Not exactly, but you do get more of a sense of it, and you'll see. But I like that aspect of it where he has to own up to everything that happened and be the man he wants to be from this moment on. And that's the aspect I like, is all I'm trying to say. I thought that whole thing was good. You know, don't hide who you are, be who you are. I like that. I got a little ramble in there, but
no, it's
So of all the Netflix shows that are out, where would you say this one ranks?
You know, I
compared to the first two Daredevils and just Jessica Jones. No, that's the knockoff show, Jessica Jones.
I have to say, because Jessica Jones was my favorite.
I really like Jessica Jones.
I think this is on par. I think it's a bigger show for obvious reasons, because you do have a lot more aspects. And, you know, Jessica Jones was a lot more intimate and internal, where this is a community.
This was her fixing a problem in her life.
Exactly.
This is him fixing other people's sort of problem.
Well, it was him. Like, it was him fixing his own problems, honestly.
Right, but you know what I mean? Like,
his own problems also had to do with the culture of Harlem and the history, you know, of African Americans and things like that. At least that's what I took from it, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And that's why I liked it. But because of that context is why it was bigger. You know, and there was music and there was all those things. It's odd to say, like I said earlier, I think Daredevil is the weakest. And not bad at all. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just funny to say that. That's all.
I gotta say, of all, I like Daredevil season two. I love Punisher.
The best one?
I love Punisher. I just loved every bit of Punisher. I thought he was violent and amazing. And I love
that courtroom scene was amazing.
I love Kingpin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd put that right up there. I mean, I really love the show, and it's like...
Wait till you get to the end before you answer. At first, even when I finished Luke Cage, I was like, yeah, no, Jessica Jones is still their top. But then, like, the more I've reflected on it, the more I'm like, no, I think this is easily on par with Jessica Jones. So what about you, Luis?
I agree, actually. That was my answer, was I think it's right up there with Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
I think they're two very different stories.
Oh, yeah.
But... as far as quality and just like how great the shows are and how great they tell a story, they're pretty much on par.
Yeah.
Except Luke Cage has like a killer soundtrack.
Mm. It does.
Killer music.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's what I meant by a bigger story. There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot more to. I mean, Jessica Jones is a lot more intimate.
Sure. Can I say I'm very impressed that Disney and ABC sort of let Netflix really turn the show into something special? Like they didn't. Disney it. They didn't Disney-fy
absolutely.
I guess. You know, there's a lot of use of the N-word and a lot of violence and a lot of...
Yeah, yeah.
And they just were totally like, yeah, sure, just do that show because it's going to work. And it does work. It's really good.
That's the beauty of Michael Eisner no longer being part of Disney. He was the guy that would try to force a lot of that stuff on all their divisions.
Yeah. Luke Cage does not like to be called the N-word.
That is true.
They do not call Luke Cage N-word. That's not nice. But they still use it. Like the first time they use it, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is fine in the context of the story. This is fine. Yeah, but I'm just surprised that they let the ABC, aka Disney, was like, do it. That's fine.
Yeah. And,
it's real, though.
Well, I think that goes back, and this goes back to Daredevil season one, is when I guess. When they first, whoever, and I'm not sure who's in charge of sort of the Marvel Netflix TV stuff, but whoever was trying to do that, and Kevin Feige, of course, who's in charge of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he's like, I don't want nothing to do with TV. You know, he wanted nothing. And I guess so the whole Netflix thing is sort of like a bastard stepchild.
Mm.
But Disney's like, no, we want it. We want it. We want it. Do it. We want it. But they kind of let them do what they want. And it's been awesome.
I like the way that all the big events, your Avengers and your Age of Ultrons or whatever, all the big stuff with those guys happens on the big screen.
Yeah.
And then all the street level stuff, your Daredevil, your Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. all happens on the small screen, all happens on the TV.
Yeah.
Iron Fist.
That's what I like. Yeah.
Soon.
Iron Fist is in March.
Steel Fist.
Yeah.
Steel Fist, Jessica Jones.
Iron Fist.
Luke Gage.
Earn Fist.
Y'all got any more episodes of that Earn Fist?
Who's a white guy? What's going on with that?
Danny Rand
was always blonde hair.
Here we go again.
Why is Danny Rand white?
Can we get an Asian, please?
Reprehensible.
He was always white.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry. I think they should have thrown in Shang-Chi, right?
Yeah, they should have shown him. If he shows up in Iron Fist, I'm going to freak out.
I hope so.
I love those old Kung Fu comics. So. Yeah.
Because there's a way to get an Asian character into the universe, the TV universe, you know what I mean?
I like a Shang-Chi TV show.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think we have a cool Shang-Chi TV show. Yeah.
I want a Shades.
Shades.
Shades. He was always a villain, though. He was a cheesy just villain, a too. He was thing, goofy.
You know?
Yeah.
See, you did it.
Yeah.
Knew you could do it.
And yeah.
When he's talking to her, yeah, you know what I mean, and stuff.
Wait, did it seem like every time he talked to her, like he wanted to like sleep with her? Like there was some sort of like raw sexual, sexy, like. And the weirdest part was I noticed like that's all him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, that's all you. There's like this raw, weird sexuality happening right now, and just, this is all you.
Just keep watching, boys. Just keep watching.
Shade.
That was crazy, though, I don't want to give it away. He gets a gun pulled on him in one of the episodes.
How can I still hear you? My hands are on my ears.
Oh,
Yeah,
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was pretty badass.
This
is his messenger. You know what I mean? He's just pulling it like that. That shows you how crazy. That's where I was like, you guys.
Well, yeah, we're going on and on and on. Hey, real quick while we go out, because I think it's valid. All the Marvel shows, what is probably like just a really quick anecdotal bright spot? Like a great scene that just struck you amazing and why, real quick. You want me to go first? I'll motion into me.
You said the Kingpin.
Yeah.
In Daredevil.
Yep.
The picture.
Yeah, that was good.
So every time they show the picture, it's just a beautiful moment. You know what I mean? And I like that.
Cool. You got one or you want me to go?
No, go ahead. Because I actually have one.
Mine is actually from Daredevil, and that's the courtroom scene with the Punisher. Where there's the moment where you think they're just going to go that way and it's going to be weak. And, you know, they basically try to plead, oh, he's got PTSD. He's got all these issues. And he's just like, basically, F you.
Yeah.
You dishonor everybody who actually does have PTSD. These people are scum and I'm going to kill them. I was like, that's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. That's risky. Mm-hmm. And it's brave as a writer. And it's friggin' bad at that. That scene was just amazing. I was like, nice.
I would say from Luke Cage, this scene we talked about. But the scene where he's talking to the guy in his office and he's got the picture of Biggie.
Biggie? Yeah.
And then he walks up and it looks like the crown is on his head. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's pretty awesome. I do like that. You like my painting of Biggie?
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, what?
They actually mentioned it in the show. There's like a scene where I forgot. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, he says, my picture of Biggie.
Yeah.
That's when he brings in the one guy who, the one kid who took over his... the gun thing at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, that was just you know, lesson there is they're just Marvel shows are full of amazing
you know what other moments. One in Luke Cage that really got me too was where he was this was like later on in the series and he's like, what are we gonna do? And then the one guy was like, I was reading this book. And Cottonmouth's like, oh, you read now, dude. I was reading this, that, and the other. This is one of those spots where you learn something because he's just making mention of this book and what happens in this book. And basically his solution was leave Luke Cage alone.
Yeah.
Let him have Harlem and then we'll just do something else.
We can still do our business.
Yeah. And Cottonmouth's like,
go ahead.
Pulls out a gun and shoots that guy.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is an extension. It's foreshadowing and an extension of Diamondback, by the way, which may not be apparent to you yet because there's still a few episodes left.
Right.
Because Diamondback also cannot let go of his hatred and passion for Luke Cage, which is what ultimately why the ending ends up the way it does. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was good stuff. All right, we're way over on time.
Remember to go to our Facebook, to the Geek Lounge, and on Twitter at Geek_Lounge, and to tpublic.com so you can find our wonderful, beautiful
shirts. and we have more all the time, and there's a bunch up now.
There's more coming up.
There's a lot. There's always more. And then also, you know, we do have a Giga Hub Facebook page, which I think there's like four people that liked it.
Yeah, come on, guys. Go over there and like it, please.
So get on there and like it. Because we try to post stuff on there and then tie it or share it specifically with whatever show or whatever sub, whatever we're doing. So
yeah.
But anyway, that's it. Anything else? Last thoughts?
Go.
Good. Food is good.
Yes. Food.
Beer is good. Good, the Bad, and the Watchable is coming soon.
Yep.
That's me and Paul's show.
That's right.
Which we're actually going to start recording, but it won't be out for maybe another week or so.
Yeah.
But it is coming up. So Superman 3, watch it, I guess, if you want to keep up.
There you go.
Yes. Superman 3.
Superman 3.
If you haven't seen it, don't watch it. Wait for us.
That movie is bad, but there are some interesting things in it. So.
They got a lot of really the new good actors in it.
This
young guy, Richard Pryor.
Pretty funny guy, right? Guy. Yeah. And beginning October 18th, we will also have, for the American Kansas Society, breast cancer awareness t-shirts available on our TeePublic website. And all profits from that t-shirt will be going to the American Cancer Society for the upcoming Cancer Walk on October 30th.
Which we will be participating in, and more than welcome to participate with us and buy a t-shirt.
That's right. We would love it. And the more we get, the more money we
It's going to be a beautiful give. Shirt. It's for a good cause.
Yeah. Yeah.
Help out. Yeah. Come have fun with us.
And I know a lot of t-shirts do fundraisers, but we're like working class dips, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
just be patient with us.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you're listening, you really should buy the shirt. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and actually, and if you buy it on Tuesday, it's cheaper, but the profit is still the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the way our TeePublic works is the first 24 hours, I believe, the t-shirt's like $5 or $6 cheaper than normal.
Yeah.
But we still get $3 from every t-shirt, which we're going to turn around and donate right to the American Cancer Society that day.
So give what you can so they can get a nice chunk of change from us.
Absolutely, yeah.
And from you.
And from you, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, stop being so heartless.
There we go. Get them into giving money.
Right. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Who the call when no one obeys
the law, and there ain't no Iron Man that can come and save the song. Created by Louise LaTorre and Munch, The Geek Lounge is produced and hosted by Louise LaTorre and Adam Smasher, and is recorded at Giga Hub Studios. You can find this show and many other shows at GigaHub.com and on Facebook under The Geek Lounge or on Twitter at Geek_Lounge. The show's theme is Shot Lunatique by the band Turquoise. You can find them at TurquoiseBand.com. T-U-R-K-U-A-Z band.com for music, merchandise, tour dates, and much more.
The hood got his back, dog, bulletproof love. The blood thicker than mud. And who am I to judge if you get a gun in the club? Cause you already know what a bulletproof does. When the hood got your back, dog, bulletproof love. Yeah, shout out to Pop, R.I.P. my brother. Streets is crazy nowadays. People say we don't need another hero, but now we got one. Whether you like it or not, Luke Cage, please believe it, sir. The streets got your back. You already bulletproof love, baby.